lion's head appears in the MGM logo. In CinemaScope, Knights of the Round Table. Armored shield hangs on a stone wall, and behind the shield, an axe and a spiked club are displayed in an X pattern and cast shadows on the wall. The weapons are flanked by medieval tapestries with dragon figures standing on their hind legs in profile. Each tapestry is bordered with a fleur-de-lis pattern. Battlefield, a man has a spear protruding from a bloody wound in his chest.
It befell in the old days that Rome at need withdrew her legions from England. Then stood the realm in great darkness and danger, for every overlord held rule in his own tower and fought with fire and sword against his fellow.
Four men are riding horses through the smoldering battlefield.
Then against these dark forces rose up a new force, wherein flowered courtesy, humanity, and noble chivalry.
One has a long white beard, and the others are wearing armor. Three of the horses are draped in colorful cloth. The man on the fourth horse carries a yellow banner. A dog pants near the body of a slain man.
Your kinsmen have been here before us.
He is still here.
One of the men points to a group of people standing near the edge of a cliff, and the man with the banner approaches them.
I cry Morgan le Fay, rightful Queen of England, and her knight champion Mordred, Lord of the Isles.
I cry Arthur Pendragon, Duke of Gwent.
The others get off their horses, and one of them approaches Mordred and Morgan le Fay.
God keep you, stepsister.
God spare you, stepbrother.
Merlin the Wise bade us meet here, and we are here. Do we meet as foes?
We meet as kinsmen, to put an end to bloodshed and restore a throne.
And which of us speaks as the king of that throne?
He who is Uther Pendragon's son is High King of England.
I am the only issue born to Uther in true wedlock. No son was born to him by his rightful queen.
Yet your father was sire to a son?
Born in shame.
His son nonetheless.
Morgan le Fay is the rightful heir.
And Mordred the rightful king.
My lady, we are met here so that he that is rightful king shall prove it. Come.
Merlin with the white beard walks away. Arthur, Morgan le Fay, and Mordred follow him. Arthur stops and lets his stepsister go before him. Merlin moves some brush to reveal an anvil with a sword sticking out of it. Morgan and Mordred glance at each other, and Arthur points to the sword.
What words are those carved upon the stone?
I am the sword Excalibur. Whoso pulleth me from this anvil is the rightwise born king of all England.
How do we know this is the sword the legend spoke of?
And if it be the true sword, why did Merlin alone know where it lay hid?
Because the king, Uther Pendragon, revealed it to me alone the night before his death.
And I shall take what is mine.
Mordred steps forward and pulls on the sword. He struggles, but it doesn't budge. He steps away from it.
Sire?
Arthur looks at Mordred, and then slowly walks to the sword. He hesitates, looks at Merlin, then easily removes the sword from the anvil.
And it is not the true sword.
It is the true sword.
It is witchcraft. Let no man say otherwise.
Then we must summon a council at the Ring of Stones of the chiefs of all the land, and they shall decide, my lord.
They shall decide to hang thee from a tree and all thy witchcraft with thee.
Mordred looks at Arthur.
And though you be the unnatural brother of this lady, take care you do not hang beside him. We shall meet again at the Council of the Ring of Stones.
Modred storms away, followed by his men and Morgan. Arthur thrusts the sword into the air.
King of England!
You are not.
What?
Not yet. You have still to prove it by deeds, not words. Return it to the anvil.
Arthur looks at the sword for a moment, then slides it back into the anvil. Later, three knights are riding with their squires.
In the heart of furious fancies, whereof I am commander, with a burning spear and a horse of air, by the wilderness I wander, by a king of ghosts and shadows, I am summoned to a tourney, and leagues beyond the wide world's end, methinks it is no journey.
Not enough. My bell is as limp as a bell rope and as hollow as a broken promise. This Arthur of yours must be 100 leagues the other side of nowhere on a charger made of nothing.
Arthur's real enough and man enough to ride as we do in pursuit of glory.
Alas, good Lancelot, how far in the name of reason will you chase this puffball fancy knight?
Who, Arthur? To the world's end and beyond.
We're there already.
Aye, 'tis the valley of death. The devil himself has plowed it under.
They're in the remains of a smoking battlefield. A chicken stands nearby.
Not so, good Lancelot. I hear the song of life. Sweet music to my hungry ears.
The other two knights and their squires go after it.
Four men against one hen. Chivalry, hide thy face. Come, Simon, we'll look for something fiercer as a foe.
Oh, sir, by your leave, my spirit is willing, but my stomach cries for quarter.
Eat then and join me later at the Ring of Stones.
Simon joins the others. Meanwhile, Merlin is riding with Arthur and his squire.
Shall we see King Leogras at the Ring of Storms?
Yes, but not his daughter.
Guinevere is here with me now, Merlin, here in my heart, as she ever has been since the day we met as children, and as she always will be till the day this heart no longer beats.
Kind words.
And I shall make her queen of all this island. Queen of all England.
Oh, hark at the growing of the unhatched egg.
They stop.
Now, from here on, this is Modred's land. I shall travel a different road to you. Go by the downs and let me go through the forest.
It's not as we planned.
It's as I plan it now, though.
Why?
If one of us is ambushed, the other will live to confound Modred at the Ring of Stones. Please, God, it shall be you.
Ride with him.
No, it is your blood Modred seeks, not mine. Stay with your master.
Ride alone, you shall not. I'll go through the forest, and you shall take Bedivere. For none of us move a step from here till doomsday.
I see. I've been foster father to a mule. Very well. Go through the forest, and God speed you.
You have always been more a father to me in wisdom and strength than he who sired me.
Without you, I endure life. With you, I rejoice in it.
God speed.
Arthur rides off. Bedivere stays with Merlin, and they ride in another direction. Arthur enters the forest. Bushes blow in a breeze, and a man in hiding watches him go past. The man rides away, and later goes to Modred and his men.
Which road does Arthur take?
Through the forest. Sire, what of my reward? You promised me enough gold to silence me.
Was there ever enough gold in Christendom to silence a traitor? Nevertheless, silence him!
Guards grab the traitor as Modred rides off, followed by his men. The traitor struggles against the guards as Modred leads his men down a rocky incline. The guards lead the traitor to the edge of a cliff. They toss him over, and he lands in a pit of quicksand. They walk away as he struggles against the thick sludge. Meanwhile, Modred signals for his men to stop.
Here we part company. Bring me word to the Ring of Stones when Arthur is dead.
Within the hour.
Some of the men ride off while Modred stays behind with his squire. Morgan rides up.
Modred, where would you have gone without me?
To the Council of Kings at the Ring of Stones. I do not want you there.
Why not?
Your life might be in peril.
Where you go, there I go also. Did I have to say as much in words?
They ride away together. Later, Lancelot is riding through the forest. A young woman resting at the base of a tree runs to him, and he stops.
Why are you late, Sir Knight?
Why, how late am I, my lady?
I've been waiting for you here since dawn.
Alas, my lady, how was I to know?
You should have known by magic.
Magic?
It's May Eve. I made a wish in the pool for a knight to come riding and carry me off.
And I am the knight?
Of course you are.
May I ask my lady's name?
Elaine.
Of what place?
Of Astolat.
Come nearer, perhaps you'd like to ride.
He lifts her onto his horse, where she sits side saddle in front of him. His arms are around her as he takes the reins.
Where are you taking me?
To your home, if you'll tell me where it is.
Five of Modred's men gallop down a path through the woods and turn off of it. Meanwhile, Elaine is still riding with Lancelot.
I told you who I was, but you haven't told me who you are.
I am Lancelot of the Lake, King Ban's son of Benwick.
Where is Benwick?
In France.
Then whatever are you doing in England?
I come in search of a great hero called Arthur Pendragon.
What will you do when you find him?
Ride the wide world by his side.
What will you ride in search of?
Oh, giants and unicorns. And beyond England, the sea of white bears and witch whales. And beyond the sea, the happy islands where no one ever grows old. Or so Gareth the Harper tells me in his songs.
Have you a lady?
No.
Then I shall be your lady. And one day you will come back and take me to the happy islands.
Lancelot smiles. Modred's men hide among the ferns on the forest floor. Lancelot slows as he approaches them. He stops and gets off his horse.
What is it?
Nothing that will harm you. Who stands?
He draws his sword.
Come forward and declare thyself.
One of the men steps forward.
Why do you seek me? Why do you lie in hiding like a knave?
The other men stand and walk out.
So it's a nest of knaves. Well, good sirs, draw your swords before my friends arrive. 5-1 is all that Arthur himself could hope for.
Are you Arthur's man?
To the death. Kill him.
One runs toward Lancelot with his sword raised. Lancelot runs to him and hits his helmet with his sword, and the man drops.
The lists are open. Who devil in them next?
Lancelot uses his shield to protect himself from another attacker, then pushes him to the ground. Two more come at him, and he knocks them both over. Arthur rides down the path toward them while Lancelot keeps fighting with the men as they get up. A man in blue comes behind him.
Behind you!
Lancelot thrusts his sword into him. He ducks in and out from behind a tree, then knocks another man down. Arthur rides up and gets off his horse.
I am for thee, lone knight.
Declare for them or stand off.
Not while I live.
Arthur starts fighting one of the men, and Lancelot and another man swerve among the trees as their swords clash and Elaine looks on. Both men fight among the ferns. Arthur pushes his opponent down, then fights another. The first gets up as Arthur knocks the second one over. Lancelot fights two men. Arthur is pushed to the ground between two small trees, and he gets up and keeps fighting, but his opponent parries. Lancelot swipes at his opponent, but he ducks, and Lancelot severs a tree branch. Elaine continues to watch, and Lancelot forces an attacker away. The wounded man gets up and runs from Lancelot. While Arthur continues to fight, another man attacks Lancelot. Lancelot knocks the sword from his hand.
I yield! Fair fight, I yield! Fair fight! Ambush!
The man turns to run. Lancelot pokes him in the behind with the tip of his sword. He walks to Elaine.
What now?
Now, my lady, I shall take you home to supper.
Arthur walks toward them, followed by his horse.
That meddler again. Sire, I thank you for the help I did not need.
Those are brave words, sire, if hardly grateful.
You deny you spoiled my fight?
Why, sire, do you seek another?
Do you not owe me one? Come, pay your debts, with broadswords if you wish.
The knights put their shields away, and take out their broadswords.
Sir Lancelot, I'm hungry.
I'll be with you in the passing of a minute.
Take care, she knows that witness the passing of a night.
They walk to a grassy clearing. They each raise their left hand. Suddenly, Lancelot hits Arthur's sword and then his helmet. Arthur drops to his knees. He gets back up and Lancelot swipes at him and misses. Arthur strikes Lancelot's helmet and he falls to his knees. He gets up and they clash swords. They swing at each other but are blocked each time. They push their swords against each other. Lancelot swings, but Arthur blocks him. Lancelot's pushed against a tree, and Arthur lunges for him, but Lancelot sidesteps away. Then, he waits as Arthur tries to pull his sword out of the tree. He helps Arthur pull it out. They square off again, and Arthur blocks Lancelot's sword. They continue to fight among the bushes. Lancelot swipes, Arthur ducks, and another tree is cut. Lancelot rushes him, but Arthur blocks him again. Lancelot thrusts, but Arthur moves out of the way. Arthur forces Lancelot backwards, then Lancelot uses his sword to push him away. They continue their fight, and Arthur knocks the sword from Lancelot's hand. They stare at each other, and Arthur picks up the sword. He throws it to Lancelot, who brings it to his chest, then lowers it. Arthur does the same with his sword, and they square off again. Arthur tries to hit Lancelot, but misses. He twirls around in the grass, and Lancelot forces him further backwards. Arthur stumbles over a bush as he continues to block Lancelot's blows. Later, they're still weakly blocking each other's swords. And Arthur swings and stumbles. Lancelot staggers after him. Arthur swings and misses. Their swords clang together in the air as they push against each other. They both struggle, and Arthur drops to one knee.
Sire, I've never met your like before. In combat, you have no peer. I am Lancelot of the Lake. And by the faith of my body, I must know who you are.
Arthur stands.
I am Arthur Pendragon.
Arthur.
Lancelot looks at his sword and begins to raise it, so Arthur starts to raise his sword. But Lancelot breaks his sword against a tree trunk.
Why do you break a sword that served you with such might?
It struck you.
Then you shall have mine. And may it serve you half as well.
Lancelot kneels.
My lord, while I live, I shall remember this hour.
While I ache in every bone, I shall not be able to forget it.
A young man rides up.
Stand and declare thyself, plowboy.
I'm no plowboy, sire. I am Percival of Astolat, and I ride in search of my sister, Elaine.
A thousand pardons to yourself and to your horse. Yonder is the lady you seek, I think. Asleep and safe.
Elaine is lying under a tree. The men smile and go toward her.
Elaine.
Percival dismounts.
Elaine.
Percival.
We've been searching the countryside for you.
Oh, I've been in such a battle.
A battle?
We fought five men.
We?
This knight and I.
This knight and you?
He and that other knight.
Sires, who are you?
I am Lancelot of Benwick, and this is Arthur Pendragon.
Arthur? Sire. My lord. My lords, let me be your man and ride with you. Make me a knight errant.
What errant would you seek?
The Holy Grail, my lord.
Arthur and Lancelot cross themselves.
Your ambition soars high for such young wings.
Will you not help me to prove myself worthy of it?
If all goes well with our cause, seek us at Camelot. If there is to be war, seek us upon the battlefield and prove yourself in combat.
I shall, my lord. Thank you. Come, sister.
Percival gets on his horse, and Lancelot walks with Elaine and lifts her onto it.
Goodbye, Sir Lancelot. I shall be awaiting you when you return from the Happy Islands.
Till then, my lady, fare you well.
The brother and sister ride away.
Happy Islands? Where are they?
Who knows, my lord? Perhaps in the heart. Do you not seek them too?
I know but one island, and not a happy one. My task must be to make it so.
Where is it?
We stand upon it now.
It shall be happy, my lord. We shall make it so.
Later, groups of men on horses are headed up a grassy hill toward towering stone pillars arranged in a circle. Later, at the Ring of Stones, Arthur is addressing the crowd.
We are not many people, we are one people, bound together by the sea above us and our enemies from without. We do not have many causes, we have one cause, England. England, which now stands in mortal peril, and we alone can save it.
How?
There must be an end to all strife among us, to the burning and the killing.
You're not our judge, nor our leader.
Nobody claims to be our judge and our leader. Beware this man, my lords. He would overthrow the king's true heir and take the crown himself.
I claim from no one what is not rightfully mine.
That's from a man who is not even rightfully born.
Merlin steps forward.
Let me speak. My lords, the true ruler of England is her law. It is as old as these stones, which were raised to the measure of the sun and the motion of the stars. Each one is balanced by its neighbor with all the cunning of a mason's skill. If each stone keeps in balance, then all will stand forever. So it is with England. Let each man keep in balance with his neighbor, and all our world stand still.
I am Mar, king of the Picts. Does any man here dare tell me what I must do?
Not one man, nor 100, nor 100,000. But the people of England.
In the dark night of their wretchedness, crushed with hunger, fear, and misery, they cry out, let there be peace.
Hear him. He would lead every villain in the land against his master. He would make us serve the peasants who were born to serve us.
Who is Arthur Pendragon to speak such words to kings?
Which of you is a true king? Mar, who comes through the broken wall of Rome with his painted picks and burns this land? Mark and his Cornish pirates? Brian and his slave raids on our unprotected coasts? There is no true king in all England until this council names one and obeys him.
Lancelot looks up at a stone pillar.
It is ordained that I shall be the rightful king of England. I will be king, my lords. With peace if I can, by war if I must. Neither I nor my friends lack bows and spears. And if the people lack goods, which you plunder, they do not lack anger nor courage. Choose!
Let that traitor perish while his treason is still black upon his lips. Arthur, ride!
Merlin and Arthur run, and the other kings chase him. Lancelot and his knights push over one of the huge pillars, blocking the king's path. Lancelot climbs on top of it and fights them off.
Beric!
His horse trots over to him. Lancelot jumps on Beric's back and rides off with Arthur, Merlin, and their men. Later, they're traveling over a green landscape, and Percival is riding with them.
What is it to be, my lord? Camelot or the battlefield?
To the battlefield! We'll crown you king by Christmas!
Arthur raises his right hand as he rides alongside Lancelot. Later, it's snowing, and men have blankets draped around them as they huddle around a small fire. Lancelot walks up with Beric. Two men walk away from the camp carrying bundles.
Where are you going?
They stop and face Lancelot.
Home. Was your village left standing by Modred's men?
No. But if I'm to starve to death, I'd sooner starve to death there than here.
I love this horse like a brother. I would kill him with my own hands, and you could eat his flesh if it would give you half the courage of the man you're deserting.
They look at each other.
Keep your horse.
They walk back to the camp. Lancelot walks into a tent where two men are sitting by a fire.
What shall I give thee as a Christmas gift, good Sir Gawain?
Fine words from a knave whose pockets are as empty as his wits.
Gawain's friend pushes him.
Is this empty? And a right Merry Christmas to you.
And a right Merry Christmas to you, Sir Gareth.
Gently, gently.
Gawain's as gentle as a bear on a bee swarm.
And Gareth's too full of festive spirits.
And would I were. I'm rusting faster than my sword.
Lancelot looks at Percival, who is asleep. He covers him with his cape as Gawain and Gareth watch. Lancelot walks into an adjoining tent where Arthur is sitting near a fire.
How is the night?
Even time is frozen solid. When shall we attack Modred, my lord?
When the first spring thaw is set in.
Why not now?
No army can fight Modred in the winter, too.
This is not fighting as I know it. It's a kind of creeping death.
Nevertheless, we are fighting. As surely as if we were in the field. Lancelot, this is the season of the year when men give gifts to those they most esteem.
Arthur pulls a ring from his finger.
I esteem thee more than any other man.
He gives it to Lancelot, who reads an inscription.
Friend shall I be, call me not other. This is a pledging twixt brother and brother.
Lancelot looks at him, then shakes his hand warmly.
Christ is born.
He is born.
They cross themselves and kneel with heads bowed. Later, the snow has melted, revealing a green hilly landscape and a meandering river. Arthur and Lancelot are riding with Gareth and Gawain. Superimposed over their image is a weapon being sharpened. A sword is pulled from a fire and hammered into shape. A man examines a curved sword. A third man pumps a bellows that maintains the fire. Later, bows and arrows are distributed to soldiers. A soldier kisses a woman goodbye, then walks to his horse. Workers carrying scythes march off their field. And later, they're walking down a grassy hill. Arthur, Lancelot, Gareth, and Gawain continue to ride. Later, they lead an army of men carrying red and yellow banners with dragons on them. Later still, the men are lined up, and Lancelot rides up to Arthur.
Does each man know the plan?
Every man is in his place, and every man has his orders. Do they but obey them, and Modred will never forget this day.
Modred will not forget this day.
May he not live to. And may this be the sword that bids him sweet farewell.
They smile and look over the troops. Arthur raises his arm and signals them to move forward. He and Lancelot lead the army. Another long column of soldiers stretches across the green landscape. Modred rides up to one of his men as they look across the hill.
Is that all the strength they can muster? Old men and lame boys?
The day is ours already.
England is ours already.
Arthur's troops move toward them. As they pick up speed, their banners wave in the wind. The sky is full of clouds as they gallop faster and faster. The drapes over the horses ripple in the wind. Modred and his men pull down their visors, and Modred signals the army to follow him. They charge Arthur's men. Arthur and Lancelot ride together as they lead their speeding army over the ground. They meet Modred's men, and the fighting begins. Archers shoot arrows, then run closer. The colorful banners flutter as the men fight face to face. A man is knocked from his horse. Amid the chaos, Modred lifts his visor.
Death to Arthur!
Men on the ground swipe their swords at men on horseback. A spear with a man's head on it is handed to Modred.
Stand and behold! Arthur is dead!
The soldiers turn to look at it.
The day is mine!
Modred throws it aside and Arthur lifts his visor.
Arthur lives! The day is still ours!
Modred points his sword at him and archers fire, but Lancelot protects him with his shield.
Get ground! Get ground!
Get ground!
Arthur's army turns around and retreats.
Give ground?
Aye, they're in retreat. Now for the kill.
Pursue and slay! Pursue and slay!
Modred and his men chase them. Wearing a helmet and chainmail armor, Merlin watches from behind a bush. He signals an army of archers laying in wait. Arthur's men rush past them, then come to a stop. As Modred's men approach, the archers fire. Men fall from their horses and the field is littered with arrows. Another band of archers fires and Modred's men throw spears toward them. The first group of archers fires again. Modred's men drop from their horses. One of Arthur's men is hit, and another man takes his place.
We have them! Spurs to horse and death to foe!
Arthur's army charges after Modred's men. The archers fire and then advance. Modred's men are surrounded, and Gareth knocks one of them from his horse. He looks back at Gawain, who knocks another man down. A man on foot beats a man with a flail. Modred's banner is black with a white unicorn.
You see my banner, Shane? Strike the dragon's banner to the earth!
A man attacks one of Arthur's banner carriers and wrestles him to the ground. Another soldier jumps from his horse and runs a sword through the attacker. He lifts the banner, then fights off more of Modred's men. Lancelot rides up and helps him.
He has won his spurs, my liege.
He has 100 fold. Fight on, Sir Percival. And now for England.
Two men grimace as they fight with swords. Arthur's man hits him over the head, then stabs him. Arthur knocks a man from his horse. Arrows fly overhead as the men continue to fight. Modred is fighting on his horse, and his opponent turns away. Modred looks around, then retreats with the remainder of his army. Arthur's men follow. Then stop.
The day is ours. Hail to Arthur, King of England.
Later, it's night at the Ring of Stones. Merlin stands at the center, and men set down the anvil with Excalibur still stuck in it. Arthur steps up and easily removes it.
My lords, do you accept Arthur Pendragon as your king?
Yes.
Then accept also his pardon, whereby he doth absolve you all from retribution, so that ye keep the peace of England.
My lords, in true penitence I do confess my wrongs against King Arthur.
Modred steps forward.
And beg leave to serve him loyally as his knight.
That leave I freely give.
Sir, I request of thee that this knight be put to banishment.
Would you have me break my word? The war is over, Lancelot, and I begin my reign in peace and in honor.
This man will destroy it.
Sire, must I stand rebuked by this mongrel knight?
No, I'll give thee satisfaction.
Lancelot,
they draw their swords.
Sir Modred.
Arthur blocks Modred's sword with his own, then pushes him back.
Put up your swords.
Arthur turns to Lancelot.
Are you knight or outlaw? Cool your hot blood and keep your place, which is high enough, but not above the good of the realm.
My lords, Arthur Pendragon will be crowned king in the city of Camelot. There also will he wed the Princess Guinevere. Then shall you all assemble to pay homage to him and to his queen.
So be it.
I am King Ban's son of Benwick, rebuked by you before this company. While that man lives, I will not pay you homage.
Lancelot throws his sword at Arthur's feet and walks away. As Arthur stares after him, Gawain, Gareth, Percival, and Simon follow him out. Morgan steps closer to Modred.
By the will.
In daylight, Lancelot and his knights are riding.
By a king of ghosts and shadows, I'm summoned to a tourney. 10 leagues beyond the wide world's end.
Sing up, Lancelot. Where's thy voice, Lancelot? With thy heart and thy boot?
Let him be your rattlepate.
Two men are sitting beneath a tree with 3 shields hanging above them.
Whose shields are these?
Ask whose they were, Sir Knight.
What, are they all 3 slain?
Well, not slain, would you say, squire?
Oh, not slain, squire, but put to sad, sore shame.
Our lord and master stripped them of all, armor, horses, and their lady.
And off they went on foot like penitents.
What lady is this you speak of?
Why, the lady under escort of the 3 knights. Didn't send her away.
Then your master is a knave and a dog.
Lancelot blows into a horn.
Then, good Sir Knight, by your leave, we will throw dice for your horse now.
Await me here.
He rides toward a stone castle, and his squire Simon follows with a long lance. A man on horseback rides out of the castle to meet them.
State your purpose.
You hold a lady against her will.
Perhaps, not against mine.
I bid you let her go free.
If you would free her, 'tis simply done. Slay me first.
That, Sir Knight, shall be my pleasure.
But heed you fight fiercely. If I slay you at white heat, then the lady's heart will melt like butter in my hand.
Nay, you will be melting in another place, Sir Knight. But where is the lady? If I am to hazard my shield with you, she must accept me as champion.
There the lady stands.
In an arched window of the castle, Lancelot sees a woman. He rides to the window and looks up at her.
My lady, will you take me for your champion?
Tell me first, sire, who are you?
He who would be your champion.
And why do you champion my cause?
Because, my lady, I've seen many wonders in my time, but not in this world as beautiful as you.
Sire, she is the bishop.
Her attendant stands with her.
I take you for my champion, Sir Knight.
The woman tosses a sheer scarf to him, and he holds it with a smile, then rides to Simon. His opponent rides to the other side of a field as Lancelot ties the scarf around his wrist and tucks it into the cuff of his gauntlet. He glances back at the woman.
For the lady!
His opponent puts down his visor and rides toward Lancelot. Lancelot shuts his visor and takes his lance from Simon. He and his opponent ride toward each other. Lancelot's knocked from Beric's back.
He's all bark and no dog, Your Highness.
His opponent charges as Lancelot lifts himself up. Lancelot knocks him off his horse.
He barks well enough. Now let us see how he bites.
Lancelot holds a knife to him.
I cry quarter!
You shall cry in quarters, Sir Knight, unless you swear to take the lady wherever she desires to go. And because you've dishonored good knights, you shall give up your armor and hang your shield beside the others on that tree.
I swear it, I swear it.
Mend thy ways, sire. There is some good in you. And guard the lady well.
On my honor.
He releases him and walks to Beric. His squire watches as he rides to the castle window.
You are free, my lady. Whither do you go from here?
To the wedding of King Arthur and Princess Guinevere at Camelot. Will you ride there with me?
I wish it could be so, my lady, but it cannot. Sir Adelpate Ulf yonder will conduct you there in safety.
Tell me, Sir Knight, who are you?
Forgive me, my lady, but there is shame upon my name.
I think that you have never done a shameful thing, nor ever will.
For that, may God's mercy be forever with you.
May God's mercy be forever with you, too.
My lady.
Lancelot nods to her, then rides away. In Camelot, a crowd watches as Merlin walks with Arthur through a courtyard.
Every knight in England must be here today.
I would that Lancelot were here.
To upset another apple cart?
If he upset 100 apple carts, it would be a fair price for the sight of his face again.
They take their places and look back toward the courtyard. A white veil blows behind the bride as she rides a horse followed by knights and bridesmaids in gold dresses. One of the knights helps her down from the horse.
Grows more beautiful.
She climbs a set of stairs followed by her entourage. They walk toward Arthur. Modred turns toward Morgan.
They are ill-matched.
If they are not, we will make them so.
Arthur kisses Guinevere's hand. Hand in hand, they walk down the aisle. Before a priest.
Arthure, visa cipere Guineveram hic presentem, in tuum legitimum exorum, juxta ritu.
Later, a man is ringing a bell in a tower.
My lords, come forward and do each his homage as ancient custom doth decree.
With Simon.
My lady, it is said on this day of great rejoicing that any man may ask one favor, and that the king will grant it, providing it be not against the realm.
That is true, and I will do it, if it be not against the realm.
My master asks of you this honor, that he may be the first to do you homage.
Who is your master?
Sir Lancelot of the Lake, King Ban, son of Benwick, knight commander of the armies of England.
I grant his request.
Lancelot steps forward, followed by Gawain, Gareth, and Percival. He walks up to Arthur and kneels before him.
My liege, I am your man. By mouth and hands, I swear to serve your cause against all others.
My lord, I fought Lancelot and lived.
Sir Lancelot, by mouth and hands, I swear we shall not part again.
Sire, forgive my discourtesy at the Ring of Stones.
I rebuked you too sharply, and I say it before this company. Pay homage also to your queen.
Guinevere is the woman from the castle.
Guinevere, this knight is my banner, sword, and shield.
She and Lancelot stare at each other. He kisses her hand.
This is the knight who came so swift to my rescue.
Lancelot?
But so late to my wedding.
Sir Lancelot, I thank you for your rescue of my lady. In gratitude, I make you henceforth the Queen's champion.
Lancelot raises his sword and tilts it toward her. He points it to the floor and rests his hand on top of the handle.
I shall ever be in your quarrel, to be your knight in right or in wrong, at the hazard of my body, from this day forward to my death.
She puts her hand over his.
Be thou my champion, in right or in wrong.
As they look into each other's eyes, Morgan glances at Modred from the corner of her eye. Later, in a hall with a round stone table,
you stand here in the presence of your peers to become knights of the round table. Therefore each man shall say aloud this vow. I will fear God, honor the king, and defend this realm with honor and with might.
I will fear God, honor the king, and defend this realm with honor and with might.
Arthur steps forward.
With God's good grace, I will hold myself true to this fellowship of knights. In the name of each man here, I vow in God's name to do battle against all evildoers, but never in any wrong cause, nor do any outrage. I will defend the helpless and protect all women and be merciful to all men. I will honor my word.
Percival mouths his words.
And I will speak no treason nor slander.
I will be true in friendship and faithful in love. All this I do swear on the hilt of my sword.
Do all here swear it likewise?
The knights raise the hilts of their swords.
All this I do swear on the hilt of my sword.
So be it. God grant long life to the Table Round.
God grant long life to the Table Round.
Later, a shepherd plays a flute beside his flock.
So England was blessed with peace. For while Arthur and Lancelot were united in friendship, no force of evil was strong enough to prevail against the chivalry of the Round Table.
In a courtyard, a man stands with an apple on his head. Gawain shoots an arrow too low.
Zounds! Does my ear look like an apple?
It was that loon with his harp. He did it on purpose to spoil my aim.
Well, your aim's as poor as his music.
Lancelot and Guinevere are watching.
Put up your bow, Gawain. We can grow new apples quicker than we can grow new ears.
My new hawk against yours. I'll spit that apple before you do.
Taken. By your leave, my lady.
Percival walks up with his sister Elaine. She stops and stares.
Stop daydreaming. You're at court now, not in a meadow.
As Lancelot takes aim, the man he defeated for Guinevere puts the apple on his head again. Percival leads Elaine to Guinevere.
My lady.
He bows.
This is my sister, Elaine.
Elaine, you're welcome here. Thank you, my lady.
My lady, I beg you to make her a lady-in-waiting. She refuses to stay at home anymore.
Is that what you would like?
Music!
Elaine stares at Lancelot as Gareth plays a small harp. Lancelot shoots and splits the apple.
Oh-ho! You owe me a hawk, Sir Knight.
He tosses the bow to Gawain. The man with the apple takes a bite of it. Lancelot walks to Guinevere.
Sir Lancelot of the Lake, my sister.
Lady?
Have you found the Happy Islands yet?
Happy Islands, my lady?
Have you forgotten them as easily as you've forgotten me?
Forgotten you?
Guinevere looks at him as he studies Elaine's face.
Why, a thousand pardons, my lady. But how grown up you are.
You think so, too?
Everyone does except you.
Are you still making midsummer wishes?
No. That was the only one I shall ever make. Is your horse well?
Beric, yes. He will remember you. He'll be delighted to see you again, my lady.
When may I see him?
Do you presume that a knight of the round table has nothing better to do than to show you his horse?
When may I see Beric? He was part of my wish.
You shall see him tomorrow, my lady.
Percival bows, Elaine curtsies, and they walk away. Modred watches from a balcony, and Morgan walks up to him. They see Lancelot and Guinevere sitting together with her hand over his.
Where have you seen that child before?
In a wood, one midsummer's eve. She'd made a wish in a pool for a knight to come riding by and carry her off.
Guinevere smiles.
And did a knight come riding by and carry her off?
Not while I was there.
Merlin sees Modred and Morgan.
Am I deceived, or do I scent a pair of royal turtle doves?
Merlin looks down at Guinevere as Lancelot holds a necklace.
What is that?
An old coin.
Oh, it's beautiful.
He takes her hand and puts the necklace into it.
It's yours.
Thank you. You are not deceived. We must set a trap to catch our turtle doves, my lord.
Merlin watches Modred and Morgan. Later, couples are dancing hand in hand as they stand in rows. Arthur's dancing with Guinevere, Modred is with Morgan, and Lancelot is dancing with Elaine. They move slowly to the music and bend at the knees. The men walk around the women. Then the women turn. Dancing partners bow to each other. Modred and Morgan walk up to Arthur and Guinevere.
My lady, that is a new neck that you are wearing this evening. May I admire it?
If you wish.
An old coin. How curious and charming. Only one who loves most deeply gives such an unusual token to his lady.
I had not noticed it.
Fie, my lord, to give such a gift, and then not notice it when it is worn in your honor.
It was given to me by Lancelot, not the king.
Morgan looks at Lancelot.
By Lancelot? I wish that I could charm you into such a gift, sire. What must I do to deserve it? If I please you with my dancing, will that be a beginning?
I'm already in your debt, my lady.
He takes her hand.
May I be likewise honored, my lady.
Guinevere lets Modred lead her away, and Arthur looks at Elaine.
Alas, my lady, you have come off worse. Never mind. After this, Lancelot shall dance with you for the rest of the evening. I shall command it.
He walks away with her as Merlin watches. Shortly after, they're all dancing. Later, in Guinevere's room, her attendant opens the door for Merlin. Guinevere smiles and holds out her hand.
Well, sire, now we're alone. What is his great secret? A pleasant one, I hope.
Not pleasant. And no longer, unfortunately, a secret. A delicate matter, and yet I must be blunt.
She motions for him to sit.
A court is a very elegant place, my lady, and doubly so when you are queen of it. But its walls not only have ears, they have eyes, and they have lips. No one is safe from them, my lady. Not even the king himself, not even you.
Are you trying to tell me that I have enemies?
Everyone in a court has enemies. If the queens could make a lie of her that men believed, it would break the round table and destroy the kingdom.
What lie could they make of me?
One that would involve Lancelot.
Lancelot is my husband's friend.
And Modred is your husband's enemy.
Does my husband know of this?
Not from my lips.
Then I shall tell him.
No, my lady.
Why not?
If Arthur believed you and banished Modred, I should no longer be able to keep an eye on him, which I do very well here. If he disbelieved you, you would have done yourself grave harm in his trusting eyes.
And what of Lancelot in all of this?
It is Lancelot for whom I am concerned. He is the torch with which Modred would light up England.
It is horrible.
It is life. The Lancelot is too vulnerable to be out of reach of this mischief. He should be safely married.
Married?
I'm glad it is I who sit watching your face at this moment, and not Morgan le Fay, my lady.
Do you suspect me too?
No, my lady. But I am just as artful as she at weaving guilt out of innocence, if it be for the good of my cause.
He stands.
Lancelot should marry. It is not too cruel a sacrifice for the throne he serves.
He walks out with a bow as Guinevere stares into space. Later, the men are on a hunting expedition. Arthur, Lancelot, and Percival each have a hawk on their arms. Guinevere and Elaine are riding behind them.
Why so silent, child?
I'm trying to find the courage to ask you a question, my lady.
Why is it so difficult?
Because...
Is it about Sir Lancelot?
How did you know, my lady?
I guessed. Now ask me your question.
Does he love anyone, my lady?
He has never told me so.
Then there isn't anyone else.
No, no one.
Does he ever notice me or speak about me?
I'm sure he does.
My lady, would he marry someone who loved him as much as I did? Even if he didn't love them very much. Even if he only loved them a very little.
Would any woman be wise to marry a man who did not love her, my child? It could bring heartbreak with it.
My heart would only break if I thought I might never see him again.
Then you would marry him, no matter what the cost.
Oh, yes, my lady. Yes, I would.
The men stop.
Gawain, you station yourself downwind. I'll wait above the river.
Gawain and his men ride off, and Arthur goes in the opposite direction. Lancelot stays where he is, and Guinevere rides up.
Elaine was speaking of you as we rode here.
She does me great honor.
I've come to know her very well.
I trust she pleases you.
Does she please you?
Why, yes, why not?
How much does she please you?
Saving yourself, I would be her servant before all others.
Men walk up to a bush in front of them. Lancelot takes a hood off his hawk and lets it fly away. Modred and Morgan watch as the bird soars.
Listen, Sheba! Listen!
Sheba flies lower. The men at the bush beat the branches with sticks and a bird flies out. Sheba soars with open wings. Lancelot and Guinevere ride forward. The bird flaps its wings against a cloudy sky. Lancelot's cape billows behind him as he rides along with Guinevere. The bird from the bush flaps its wings wildly as Sheba glides above it.
Go, Sheba!
Sheba begins to dive. And grabs the bird. Lancelot and Guinevere ride up as she lands with the bird. He gets down from his horse, then helps Guinevere down, and they stand close together.
Lancelot, there is something I must tell you. I know that you love me. You would never tell me so, but I know that you do. While it was our secret, no harm or shame could come of it, but it's no longer a secret. And we have enemies. Those enemies would be silenced if you wed Elaine. It is my wish that you do so, for she loves you too.
All through the war, Arthur would speak of you. I fought beside him shoulder to shoulder, and you were ever in his heart. You must not be in mine, too. I will do as you bid me.
Thank you.
Lancelot walks to the birds. Guinevere follows, leading both horses.
Come, Sheba.
With Sheba on his hand, he puts the hood back on her. He takes the horse's reins and keeps walking with Guinevere. Later, he hands his bird to a servant, then walks up to Arthur.
Well flown.
Yes, you stooped well. Sire, if it please you, I will go to the north as captain of the marches.
You, Lancelot? Why?
There's good fighting in the north.
There's always good fighting in the north.
The Picts are in revolt.
The Picts are always in revolt.
Sire, you know me better than any man living. My sword arm has been idle too long. I'm sick for the sound of battle.
I understand that. You have my leave to go.
I would also ask a favor of the Lady Elaine.
Lancelot turns to Elaine.
Will you go with me, my lady, as my wife?
Merlin nods slightly.
Yes, my lord. Happily.
She takes Lancelot's hands, then turns to Guinevere.
Oh, my lady.
My child. Our blessings go with you both.
Morgan looks at Modred. Later, outside the castle, Guinevere kisses Elaine on each cheek as Arthur and Lancelot walk out. Lancelot kneels before the queen.
My lady, and a favor of my wife, I will remain your champion, and I will carry your scarf henceforth as I have always done, in loyalty and in honor.
She holds out her hand, and he kisses it. Hooded drummers pound on red drums. Lancelot stands.
God go with you.
They look into each other's eyes. He walks away with Elaine and Percival. Guinevere takes Arthur's arm.
How we shall miss him.
I am missing him already.
He looks at her. Lancelot gets on his horse, and Percival pats the neck of Elaine's horse.
Advance the banner!
A banner carrier raises the banner.
Lower! Lances! Lift! Lances!
Squires on horseback raise their lances.
Forward! On!
Gawain and Gareth lead the squires and an army of men behind Lancelot and Elaine. As Guinevere watches them go, her lip quivers. In the castle, Morgan is watching from a window when Merlin walks up.
Which of us grieves most, I wonder, to see them depart?
Whichever of us has the tenderest heart.
Good. Then neither of us is grieving.
She walks away from him. Later, a tall fortress stands on a hill. Elaine is at the roof and is looking off into the distance when Gawain walks up.
Is there any sign of them? A messenger, a horseman. I feel my husband is somewhere near at hand.
I wish I had your faith, milady.
Then do not falter in your own, Gawain.
I tell myself 3 months is but a quarter of a year. But already I feel they've been gone 3 centuries.
They will come home safe. I can feel him very close to me.
I'd be even closer to him if he'd taken me instead of that harper.
Would you sooner Gareth had watched over my safety?
No, milady. He has no more sense of responsibility than his own silly harp.
She leans heavily against a stone wall.
Gawain.
Milady.
She faints into his arms, and he carries her inside. Later, Lancelot is leading his men up a hill along a narrow dirt road.
Never a sign of the foe. Will we ever see a pick?
Hey, they've gone to earth like badgers.
Or dissolved into highland mist.
Better to smother us to death.
Lancelot raises his arm.
Silence!
He looks around at the hills that slope up on both sides of them.
Hey!
Arrows shoot out from the hillsides. Picts run down the hill, and Lancelot's men run toward them. Dust kicks up on the road as the horses turn. The Picts advance with their bows and arrows. Their skin is painted, and they're dressed in crude animal skin clothing. Lancelot rides behind his men. Men fight with swords and spears. Lancelot's men shoot arrows. Two of them are hit, and they fall forward.
Blame your arrows!
With two stones, a fire is started in a portable bellows. Soldiers light their arrows as another pumps the bellows. One of the soldiers is hit as he tries to flame an arrow. They hold their shields up as more arrows rain down on them. A flaming arrow lands in the brush, and it catches fire. Black smoke curls around the Picts as they load their bows. A Pict is shot in the stomach. Another fires, and the knight Lancelot fought for Guinevere's freedom is hit with an arrow. He falls from his horse. Lancelot rides to him, then gets off his horse. Soldiers hold shields up in front of Lancelot and the wounded knight. Gareth runs to Lancelot.
Hold firm, you old blusterer.
My lord, I've blustered my last bluster. Say, was I such an uncouth knight after all?
You were as goodly a knight as I have known.
He goes limp in Lancelot's arms. Lancelot looks at Gareth, then lays the man gently on the ground. He stands and looks around.
Forward! On!
His men rush forward as Lancelot leads them up a rocky incline. Behind tall flames, a Pict is shot with an arrow. Another tries to fend off one of Lancelot's men. Later, patches of fire cover the hillside, and the army of Picts has thinned, while still more fall. A spear plunges into the stomach of one of them. Lancelot's men chase the Picts across the hillside while thick black smoke billows behind them. Later, Lancelot and his men are riding toward the fortress on the hill. Inside, an attendant is fixing Elaine's hair.
My lady, gently, gently.
Oh, Nan, help me, quickly. All these months away and now he is here and I'm not ready to greet him.
You were told not to fluster yourself.
I'm not flustering myself. I'm well, truly I am well, now he is here.
They hurry out of the room. Nan watches from a landing as Elaine runs down a set of stairs to the front door. Lancelot walks in and holds her tightly. He kisses her forehead. Later, with Gawain behind him, Gareth is singing as Lancelot and Elaine play chess.
A pearl in gold and golden shawl, a lady fair, a love whereon my heart may cling, a blitheness never more begun while I sing.
The Scottish mist has rusted all his notes.
Gawain walks out.
I will her when she wills me woe. Methinks my heart will break in two.
Lancelot pauses.
For sorrows must.
Elaine puts her hand over his.
In God's own greeting may she go. That lady.
A lovely song, Gareth. But why such a sad one?
Aye, strike up a gay tune. Will you dance, my lady?
Yes.
Lancelot holds her hand in the air, and they walk forward. They turn and face each other, bending at the knees as they dance.
Lancelot! Percival's here!
Percival?
Percival!
Elaine hugs Percival.
Never was a face more welcome.
Never was a heart more cold and weary.
Well, come, sit by the fire. Bring meat and wine.
Yes, sir.
What news? What news of the court?
You will know more than I.
We've heard nothing since we left there. How long have you been gone from Camelot?
Many weeks.
He sits heavily.
Percival, is all well with you?
I am upon a quest, sire.
What are you seeking?
The Holy Grail.
They all cross themselves.
At Pentecost, when the round table met, every knight save you sat in his own place. Then suddenly we heard the crash and cry of thunder, louder and louder, until we thought the walls must tumble inwards and destroy us. And then the tumult died and the hall was filled with light, 100 times more clear than day. And no knight could speak. And then we heard music, as if the skies were filled with joyful song. And a voice spoke.
A voice?
The strangest thing. And this is something I do not even now understand.
What?
Every knight heard the music and saw the light. But I was the only one who heard the voice.
What did it say?
It said, Percival, my knight.
He stands.
Who has come out of worldly life into spiritual life. Go forth, seek the Holy Grail. Blessed for in that our Lord drank from it at the last sad supper. And when he died upon the cross for all mankind, it held his precious blood. Seek it. To the end that faith in what is eternal may be renewed. For in good time the cup will return to earth, and there remain that men may be at peace with one another. Blessed be God who lives and moves in all things eternally.
Amen.
The king granted me leave to go forth upon my quest, but in his heart it saddened him to see me go. First Lancelot, now you, he said. He's a lonely man.
Lancelot stands and puts a hand on his arm.
You are twice welcome, my brother Percival. Your coming has brought great joy to us both. My lady, will you see to his comfort? I must make my round of the guard.
Lancelot leaves and Percival sits beside his sister.
All the happiness in my world is here with me now.
And mine is all renewed.
He kisses her cheek. Later, Lancelot walks out onto the dark roof with a cape wrapped around him. He leans against a wall and gazes into the distance. In Camelot, Guinevere is also staring into the night. She looks down at the coin necklace Lancelot gave her. Arthur walks out to join her.
What is it?
Nothing, my liege.
She hides it in her hands.
Is loneliness nothing?
I'm not lonely.
No. I am. I think you are also.
Great tasks bring great demands upon the human spirit, and sometimes great weariness. I often must watch you walk when none may follow or comfort you. I least of all.
He steps closer to her.
You most of all.
My lord, I honor you above all men. I watch with wonder how you bring justice and mercy to your people. And I long to serve you better. With far more love and far more understanding than I possess. But a king such as you stands in need of a greater queen than I.
She drops the necklace, and Arthur reaches down and picks it up.
I love him also, Guinevere.
Gently, he puts it into her hands. In the north, Percival steps onto the roof while Lancelot looks at Guinevere's scarf. He tucks it under his cape.
I did not know my sister could be so happy. Whoever has put his trust in you, you have made happy.
No.
Who knows better than I? What I do not know is why I came to be chosen for the holy quest instead of the truest knight in Christendom.
Every worldly conquest I ever sought, I have achieved. And never have I been beaten in a quarrel, were it right or wrong. But in holy things, I know I must fail, for there's a sin in my heart which blights me. And no power will ever make it pure again.
If there's a weight of sorrow in your heart, let mine bear half the weight. But I know there is no sin in your heart, or my own would look black and lost.
There's no sin in you, Percival. And you will find what you seek. The voice who spoke to you was God's.
Later, Elaine is in bed while Lancelot leans against a wall.
My lord, Lancelot, come, sit by me. I will tell you of the dream I dreamed.
He sits on the bed.
About our son.
You're certain it's to be a son, are you?
I saw him. He was armed all in white. Shield and spear were white. So was his horse. He had your eyes, your smile and your bearing. And yet, he was like no one save himself. There was a great light about him.
I envy you such a dream.
You know, do you not, that my dream will come true? They always have. Yours haven't.
Why did you say that?
You never found your happy islands.
Strange that you should remember that idle jest of mine above all others.
It was no idle jest.
She looks around.
These are my happy islands. I never want more than this from life.
Have you indeed been made so happy by so little?
So little? If I had all my life to live again, I would have nothing different. Do you understand, Lancelot? Nothing different. I want you to remember that, always.
I will.
He kisses her hand. At a soldier's camp, men arrive with horses.
Is Modric here?
With King Mar.
One of them is brought into a tent where Modred and Mar are waiting.
What does Modred so far north? Why have we been summoned here?
Why did you come unless you guessed my purpose?
I shall have no part in plots against Arthur until the country is divided.
Nor I.
What will divide it quicker than a clash between Lancelot and Arthur?
Ah, his head is full of wild nonsense.
Not wild or nonsense. There is a fraying link in Arthur's chain. Lancelot is the queen's lover. Why else do you think I'm here, my lords? If Mar will but sue for peace, I will do the rest.
I sue Lancelot for peace?
Once the war here is at an end, what is to keep Lancelot from returning to the court at Camelot? Once at Camelot, Lancelot and the queen will betray themselves. I put my oath upon it.
I crawl to Lancelot for peace terms? It's madness.
Wait, let me hear Mordred out. I smell method in his mind.
In Camelot with Guinevere, Arthur is holding a letter.
Read it.
He unrolls it as he walks past Gareth, who's holding a baby. Gawain, Merlin, Modred, and Morgan are there.
Sire, I give thee loyal greetings. The border is now under such good rule as you would have, the Picts under their leader Mar having sued for peace. With Gareth and Gawain, I send my son, Galahad. For whom, in giving him life, my lady, his mother, died. Than hers no heart was ever more constant, more gentle, and more forgiving. I pray you take means to send my son to my father, that he may have joy in his grandchild. Be certain of our friendship, and her grace the queen may know that I am her true servant still. Lancelot, knight.
Guinevere takes the baby.
When shall you return to the north?
As soon as it please you, sire.
I will give you letters to Lancelot, and then you shall go.
Gawain and Gareth walk out.
Sire, Lancelot must come back. He has been too long away.
You are right.
Sire, it is too soon to send for Lancelot.
Too soon, when the war is over?
Mar will be up in arms again as soon as his back is turned.
Lancelot still serves England best from the marches, and would not come save by command. Therefore, command him not.
Merlin walks out.
Let us see to the child, my lady. I shall speak with Merlin later on this matter when his tongue is not so sharp.
Arthur and Guinevere walk out, leaving Modred and Morgan behind. Morgan looks out a window.
When his tongue is not so sharp. I would that I had the old raven's throat between my fingers now.
Fingers leave bruises. Merlin is old. His death could easily look more natural.
Make it so.
Modred walks away. Later, Merlin is working alone in his room. A servant walks in with a tray of fruit and wine. Merlin nods, and the servant leaves the tray on his desk. In the hall, a woman in an orange dress watches from behind a pillar as the servant walks away. She stays out of sight, then walks to another room. Inside, she nods to Morgan and Modred. Later, Arthur walks into Merlin's room.
Merlin, I sent for you some hours ago.
He shuts the door.
Why did you not come to me? Let us not quarrel over Lancelot. If your real reasons be sound, I pledge to leave him in the north. But if they be the crusty whims of an old tyrant, I shall recall him and risk your scolding. Well, what do you say? Merlin
slumps over.
Merlin.
He falls onto the floor, and Arthur puts a hand over his heart. He looks up with a furrowed brow. Later, Morgan and Modred look out of a window as Lancelot and his men arrive on horseback. Lancelot looks toward the castle where Arthur and Guinevere step out onto a balcony. Lancelot's men continue to pour through the gates of Camelot. His men lower their lances.
Lift! Lances!
They raise them. Lancelot stares up at Guinevere, and she smiles.
Knights and ladies, forasmuch as Sir Lancelot of the Lake has kept the king's guard on the northern marches well and faithfully, and is now returned to court at the king's desire, I do proclaim in the king's name 12 days of holiday, with such tournaments, feasting, dancing, and merrymaking as shall be devised hereafter.
Later, tents are set up around the castle, and men ride horses along the length of a white fence. A knight stops before the king and queen. Gareth is with Gawain and Lancelot.
Plague take the tournament. Why must I run a course with every knight who wants to shout for his lady?
So that every lady will shout for you? Though he, the dunce, will think they shout for one of his ballads, and then he'll sing them, one upon another, till they shout even out of her mercy.
Lancelot tucks Guinevere's scarf into his gauntlet.
What's that, my lord? A lady's favor?
Why not?
Is it in memory of the Lady Elaine?
I need no scarf to remember her.
Arthur and Guinevere are watching.
By my soul, Lancelot is wearing a lady's favor on his arm.
A favor? But is he not still in mourning for his wife?
I thank God some lady has called his thoughts back.
Morgan looks at Guinevere, who looks down. Two jousters ride toward each other along opposite sides of the fence. One knocks the other off his horse. Later, knights and competitors ride into an open area and form a circle. Their horses are draped in colorful cloths. and they each carry a gray sack. They converge toward each other and beat each other with a soft gray sacks. Lancelot knocks a man off his horse. Arthur and Guinevere laugh as they watch. The men smile and laugh as they beat each other with the sacks. Lancelot knocks another man down, and then another. He knocks the last man down and is the only one left on his horse. Later, at a huge banquet table.
Sire, ladies, what is the most difficult art in the world? It is to shave an egg. But call the dancer will shave a dozen eggs with his toes without breaking one. If you doubt me, lay your wagers on the number he will break.
Two.
Four.
Seven. Four.
Seven.
I wager he breaks none.
Impossible. What will you wager?
A kiss.
A woman sits next to Lancelot.
Is that the Queen's new rival?
I wonder.
She looks at him with a smile.
Agreed.
Guinevere looks down. Blindfolded, Cole the dancer jumps onto a table. Over a dozen eggs are evenly spaced across it. He dances around them and jumps in the air. His pointed toes tap quickly up and down around an egg, and he dances forward. He jumps in the air, spins, and claps. He lands lightly between the eggs and keeps dancing. He nimbly jumps around the eggs as he gets to the other end of the table.
So far, so good.
Guinevere is looking at Lancelot and the woman next to him. Gareth smiles as he watches the dancer. Cole hops backward across the table, disturbing not a single egg. He spins and lands on one knee. He takes off the blindfold and holds it in the air.
Come on!
Take your wager.
Lancelot looks at the other guests, and the woman next to him looks down. He stands and kisses her on the lips. Lancelot sits with a smile. Guinevere watches soberly and looks down.
The Lady Vivian had best take care. We are all a little jealous of her, are we not, my lady?
Guinevere smiles politely and nods. Later, she's with an attendant in her room.
Leave me. But, madam, who will tend you?
I will tend myself.
The young woman leaves. As a breeze blows the gauzy drapes around her bed, Guinevere pulls a cape around her and hurries to the door. She listens at it, then walks out. The woman in the orange dress is watching, and she steps out of sight. Guinevere rushes down the hall, lit with torches. She goes down a curved staircase. The woman in the orange dress looks out of a window and sees her running along a lower level. Up a set of stairs. The woman in the orange dress goes to Morgan and Modred.
All right, my lady. The Queen has gone to Lancelot.
Your men are waiting and ready. Fetch them to the East Tower.
A man walks out.
Go.
Morgan gives the woman a necklace.
This time we shall not fail. The Queen shall have proof absolute.
You must not be there when they are taken. Arthur must think that we are innocent in this affair. Wait here.
Morgan and Modred sit at a table. In his room, Lancelot is wrapping leather around the handle of a whip. He hurts his hand and takes off the ring that Arthur gave him.
Who is it?
He puts the ring down and goes to the door. Guinevere walks in.
My lady.
Close the door.
Thank you.
What brought you here?
I must know what I've done that you should hurt me.
You come here at this hour to ask me that?
When else could I ask you? In the presence of the court so that you could shame me?
But it's high treason for you to come. You dishonor us both. You cannot stay nor come here again nor speak to me beyond my duty.
Is it a part of your duty to humiliate me for all to see?
My lady, this is all in your mind. I beg of you, return to your chamber. Speak with me tomorrow where no harm can come of it.
Why did you ignore me tonight? Has your love for me turned to contempt? Why? Why? I must know why.
She puts her hands on his arms.
My lady, in only one thing have you mistaken me. I do not love you.
He walks away from her.
It's not in my nature to love or honor. It's only in my nature to fight and sport and eat and fight again.
Was it all a lie? Did you never love me?
What if I did? Nothing lasts forever. Least of all, folly.
She goes to him.
What are you saying?
Did you yourself not warn me that Mordred watches our every move? Is he such a fool not to be watching us this very moment, hoping it is you and not the Lady Vivian I favor? As for the Lady Vivian, she and I are of a feather. Our demands on one another are light. We do not commit high treason.
Stop. I beg you, say no more. I will not degrade myself before you again.
She walks toward the door. She stops, and Lancelot looks at the door.
Who is it?
Death. They're waiting on the stairs.
He takes off an outer robe, and her scarf falls to the floor.
Then it was I who had too little faith.
As he looks at her, she walks into his arms, and they kiss. He puts on a chainmail shirt.
It's too late for silence, Lancelot. You're trapped at last.
Modred's men. He and Morgan have been waiting only for this moment.
Traitor knight, we'll have your head on a pole and your trollop too. She'll go to the stake in a fancy sackcloth smock. Come out or we'll batter down the door.
What is it?
My sword. Simon took my sword to mend the scabbard.
Outside, Modred's men ram the door with a log.
We're lost.
We are lost. All is lost. King, kingdom, England. Agravain, if you withdraw and quit this place, I swear on vow of knighthood, I will answer to the king.
You shall to the king and his queen with you in Mordred's presence.
Agravain, I will give myself up and stand trial if you will spare Lancelot.
No!
Lancelot pushes Guinevere away from the door.
Give ground! I'll unbar!
He grabs a torch and opens the door.
I have him!
He puts the torch in Agravain's face and uses it to block another man's sword. Lancelot takes his sword and runs it through him. He fights two more men with swords. He kicks a man in purple. One of the men backs him against a wall, but Lancelot punches him. He hits another man with his sword, then fights the one in purple. Lancelot pushes him away, then parries a thrust of his sword. Lancelot struggles, then kicks him away. A man swings an axe at his head but misses. Guinevere watches as the axe is swung at Lancelot again. He ducks, and the axe sends one of Modred's men over the edge of the roof. Lancelot fights another man with an axe, then pushes him away. The man in purple attacks with a sword. With his face burned black, Agravain slowly starts to lift himself up. He watches Lancelot drop the man with the axe, then fight the next. Agravain grabs the axe and tries to strike Lancelot. He misses, and Lancelot pushes him aside and keeps fighting. Agravain comes back, swings the axe, and misses again. Lancelot grabs him, and they start to move down a staircase. Lancelot runs him free with a sword, and the man in purple comes after him. They struggle further down the stairs. They hold each other's wrists, and Lancelot deflects a blow. Then he pushes him against the steps. The man gets up, and Lancelot defends a downward thrust. Lancelot runs the sword through him, and the man falls down the rest of the stairs. Guinevere comes out.
All that has befallen shall be accounted for to Arthur, but never by you.
They hurry down the stairs. Later, they're riding a horse away from Camelot and into the darkness. In Lancelot's room, his ring is on a table. Arthur picks it up as Modred, Morgan, and two other men watch. He slides it onto his finger and twists it absently. Later, swords are laid out on the round table.
Sires, you have heard proof spoken under oath and without malice that the Queen's Grace did secretly and at night and without the knowledge of her husband go unattended to the quarters of Sir Lancelot. Sires, you shall give your voice, each one of you, for or against the accused.
Arthur fingers the ring.
You will bear in mind, if they be declared guilty, the penalty by law for high treason. For the man, that his head be smitten from his body, that his body be dismembered, and his quarters hung upon the highway to the admonition of all traitors. For the woman, that she be conveyed to the public square, there to be burned alive before the people.
Arthur stares into space as Modred sits.
Sires, give your voice, whether guilty or not guilty.
Sir Tor?
Guilty.
Sir Lionel?
Not guilty.
Sir Ector?
Guilty.
Outside, Percival rides into Camelot. He dismounts.
I heard a great lie and rode here without rest. Where is Lancelot?
I know not. The king is here, and the trial has all but ended.
Trial?
He goes inside.
Therefore it is found by true count of voices that Lancelot of the Lake and Guinevere Queen are each of them guilty of high treason against our sovereign lord, King Arthur.
My liege, I ask authority for men-at-arms sufficient to take the traitor Lancelot.
Heads turn as more horses ride up. Lancelot, Simon, Gawain, and Gareth get off their horses and go inside. Lancelot looks at Percival, then approaches Arthur. He kneels on one knee and bows his head.
Most noble king, I give myself into your hands.
If it is the plead for mercy, your coming is ill-timed, Sir Lancelot. Verdict of high treason has already been brought against you and the Queen's Grace.
Why is the Queen not with you?
Because the Queen has been so greatly wronged, my liege, that I will hold her in safety until that wrong is righted.
Traitor!
Touching her loyalty and mine, I will give full account. First, I must speak of a friendship from which all else has sprung.
He faces the round table.
In the old days, I rode in search of a man and found him, became his friend. We fought side by side and endured all things together. And if at times we differed and fell out, still I will say that no two men living were truer friends. Then, again riding forth, I met a woman, and from that hour I loved her. Her name is Guinevere. She's your queen. My friend was your king. It pleased him to make me her champion. Therefore, I remained her servant and no others, saving only the lady, my wife, to whose soul may God give gentle rest.
He turns to Arthur.
A man and a woman may love each other all their lives with no evil between them. I dare to say such love is good, for by denial and suffering, the heart is purified. Be that as it may, my liege, if any knight saving your person will say that the queen is not a true wife, I will make it good upon his body.
He throws his gauntlet on the round table.
My liege, this man is no longer free to offer battle. He may only be condemned.
Sir Lancelot, according to the law, the penalty for you and Guinevere the queen is death. But by my authority as sovereign lord of this realm, neither the queen nor you shall die. Punishment there shall be. Therefore I decree that Guinevere, my queen that was, be conveyed to the convent of the holy nuns at Amesbury, there to remain until the day of her death. Sir Lancelot, when this land was in need and peril, you gave service in its cause that ill deserves rewarding by a headman's axe. Therefore you shall be banished from this realm of England. Never in your lifetime to return.
The penalty is death.
The sentence is banishment.
Sire, I give you thanks for your grace and mercy to the Queen. I will abide this banishment, though it be harsher than the losing of my life.
He and Arthur stare at each other. Lancelot walks past the round table and past Gawain, Gareth, and Percival. As he walks out, Modred turns to Arthur.
My liege, it is you who have taught us that no king of England may set himself above the law. Men and women, high and low, are alike before the court of justice. But you have twisted the law to your private favor. If you shield the living, who shall avenge the dead, the outrage of murder? You have broken the oath taken in this very hall.
Modred.
Arthur stands.
My lords, sires, the last word in this matter has been spoken.
He walks out slowly, followed by Gawain, Gareth, Percival, and Simon.
The last word in this matter has not been spoken.
Do you challenge the authority of the king?
King only so long as we call him king. Is it kingly in a man to shrink from justice when it cries its loudest? Are there not knights among us who believe that the truly proud and strong should follow none but he who is stronger still? Is he a king or a man of straw? Blind to all save his own grief and sick in the soul. How strong is Arthur without Lancelot? As strong as a man in the thick of battle who has his sword struck from his fist. A common pikeman could run him through.
Later, fires burn on a battlefield.
Thus did Modred succeed in his intent. The great bond was broken. With the queen taken from all men's eyes in sorrow and disgrace, and Lancelot banished from the land, evil days returned to England.
Under a heavy fog, a man with a white flag rides between two armies.
Hearken, you who command the opposing armies. It is agreed that while this parley lasts, that no knight shall draw his sword. If any sword be drawn on either side, a trumpet shall sound and dreadful war begin.
Arthur Pendragon, you have asked for this truce. What do you hope it shall gain you?
Modred, this carnage I seek to avert is unlike the old war we fought against each other. Once you led outlanders against me, enemies of England.
This time I'll lead Englishmen against you because you are the enemy.
If I must war against my people and my knights, the stroke that strikes them dead is death to me.
The doom is yours, not mine.
Modred, beware! None will emerge the victor in this holocaust. Friend will slay friend in this mist, not knowing whom he slays. Before us lies only the darkness of utter destruction. The end of chivalry. The end of all our world. In the name of God, I beg you to forswear this war.
Upon my terms.
What are they?
First, you shall withdraw your armies from all this land of the West. Second, that the lives and chattels of the people of the West shall come under my domain. Last, that the round table shall be disbanded, never to reassemble.
These are not terms to offer equals. They are terms to shame the vanquished.
Sir Percival, if I agree these terms, will you pledge to wage no further wars?
If I be not provoked.
Arthur looks down.
I agree the terms.
No!
Let it be done in writing.
A snake slithers toward a horse's hooves, and a knight draws his sword on it.
Treason!
Modred's men draw their swords and charge Arthur's army. Battle breaks out as swords and spears clash against shields. Later, Lancelot rides past a burned-out building. He comes to an area where wounded men are lying on the ground and being cared for by monks. He dismounts and looks around. Arthur's wounded, and Percival is with him as Lancelot kneels beside them.
Arthur, my noble lord.
Percival shakes his head.
God forgive me, I come too late.
What place is this?
Chapel of the Sword.
Excalibur. Returning whence it came. No longer bright. No longer glorious. Tarnished by my own hand.
My lord.
Lancelot. Lancelot.
Mordred, you were right. I should have destroyed him. Therefore, do it before he grows again in strength.
I will.
My sword.
Lancelot hands Excalibur to Arthur.
Stained by the blood of my own people. Cast it into the sea, Lancelot. Swear it.
I swear it.
He takes it back.
Go to Guinevere. Tell her. I love and forgive her.
Arthur looks at the ring on his finger. He takes it off and gives it to Lancelot.
Friend shall I be. Call me not other.
This is a pledging twixt brother and brother.
Arthur's eyes close and his body goes limp. Lancelot and Percival stand. They make their way around the wounded men. A cliff overlooks the ocean far below. Lancelot walks to the edge with Arthur's sword. Light glints off the blade as he holds it up. He throws it over the cliff and walks back to Percival.
Wait at the hall of the Round Table until I join you there.
Let me go with you.
No. What I must do must be done alone.
Later, two nuns walk down a hallway and approach Lancelot. One of them is Guinevere.
I bring you sad tidings, my lady. The king is dead. His message to you was brief. Two words.
What were they?
Forgiveness. And love.
Thank you.
Guinevere and the other nun walk away. He follows them slowly for a few steps. Then watches them recede down the hall. Later, he's riding across an empty field. A haze drapes the hills behind him. Outside their stone fortress, Modred and Morgan see him coming. He rides up a hill and approaches them.
To the death!
To the death!
Modred puts down his armored visor and grabs his lance. Lancelot puts down his visor and they ride toward each other. Modred hunches over his horse with the lance pointed ahead of him. They knock each other off their horses. Morgan steps closer to watch. Modred strikes with a sword, but Lancelot blocks it with Modred's lance. He hits Modred with it. Modred strikes again and misses. Lancelot hits him. He stumbles backward. Modred swings again, and Lancelot beats him away. Beric gallops to Lancelot. Lancelot knocks Modred down, then grabs his sword from Beric's saddle. They cross their swords and grapple with each other against a wooden wagon. Modred swings and cuts part of the wagon. He advances, but Lancelot parries each blow. They struggle, and Lancelot's back is against a rocky outcropping. Modred thrusts, but Lancelot moves out of the way. Lancelot forces Modred backwards, and they continue to defend each other's strikes. Modred slices downward, but Lancelot blocks him. Morgan and Modred's men watch. Lancelot swings at his head, but misses. They grapple face to face, and Lancelot blocks two more blows. He knocks Modred to the ground, and the others watch as he gets back up and keeps fighting. Lancelot forces him backward down a hill. He knocks his helmet off, and Modred runs at him, but Lancelot kicks him away. Lancelot knocks Modred's sword from his hand, and Modred pulls out a dagger. They continue to fight. Modred tackles Lancelot, and they struggle, then fall to the ground. They roll down the hill, fighting as they go. Modred holds the dagger over Lancelot's face, but Lancelot holds him off. He sits on top of Modred and wrestles the dagger out of his hand. Modred struggles to his knees, but Lancelot plunges the dagger into him. Modred pushes Lancelot over the edge of the cliff, and he lands in the pool of quicksand. Beric runs toward Lancelot, and Modred smiles as he watches him struggle in the quicksand. Morgan goes to Modred.
Beric!
Beric is running down the hill and goes to Lancelot. He stretches his neck out, and Lancelot tries to grab the reins, but misses. Finally, he gets hold of them, and Beric pulls him from the thick sludge. Lancelot stands and pats Beric on the neck. He leads him away as, on the cliff above, Morgan is holding Modred. Lancelot approaches them. Modred lifts the dagger. He goes limp, and Morgan cries over his body. Lancelot leads Beric away. Later, he and Percival enter the empty hall of the Round Table. Lancelot weeps as he kneels.
What is it?
It was I who brought this fellowship to ruin and to death. My heart is too sick to pray.
Lancelot. The music. Do you not hear it?
I hear nothing.
Percival kneels.
Blinds me.
He shields his eyes.
The hall is unchanged.
He looks up at a beam of light streaming in from above the hall, and the image of an ornate goblet appears in the light.
The cup.
Percival, my knight and servant, this high vision is granted to such as are pure in heart, to the end that faith in what is eternal may be renewed. Of fellowship and honor, naught is lost. And of all knights, Galahad, the son of Lancelot, shall be most worthy. Give comfort, then, to Lancelot, whose guilt is all forgiven, and whose heart shall now know peace. Blessed be God, who lives and moves in all things forever.
The End. Knights of the Round Table. Narrative script written by Beth Sharp. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Steve Sherrod, with special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.